we decided that we wanted to start a business together.
At the end of this free course, you kind of know what you're good at and what you're not that good at.
That's definitely the most debatable decision that we made.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Selling Online Courses. We're here to share winning strategies and secret hacks from online course creators. My name is John Ainsworth, and today's guests are Julio and Bruno. Now, these guys were the co-founders of Crafting Cases. They started off as case interview coaches, so they're helping people get jobs in consulting firms. Then they started making courses, and they grew Crafting Cases to more than a 50,000 email list and mid six figures in revenue. They did all of that with organic traffic and no team. And today we're going to be talking about their course business, how they started it, and how they grew it to mid six figures. Now, before we dive into our interview today with today's guests, I want to tell you about Josip AI. Now, Josip is our funnel strategy lead. He's worked with dozens of funnel building and optimization projects. He's developed and tested most of the systems that we're using here at Data Driven Marketing to make our clients millions of dollars. And what we did is we took all of Josip's training for our clients, all of his coaching calls, and we used it to train an AI version of Josip called Josip AI and made it available to you for free. You can ask any questions you want about your course or your membership business and get his help with writing copy for your emails as well. Go to datadrivenmarketing.ai and you can access it for free. Now, back to the show. Julio, Bruno, thanks so much for coming on today, guys.
Thank you for inviting us over, John.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Nice.
It's our pleasure.
So, talk us through, who do you help with your courses and what kind of problem are you solving for them?
So, usually people will join MBA. Some people will join MBAs just to get jobs in consulting firms. And many people just get out of college as business majors or engineering majors, and they want to get jobs in McKinsey, Bain, BCG. And the job market to get a job in those firms is very competitive. And the way that they select those people after reviewing their CVs and stuff is through a case study interview. What that means is they'll give the consultant a business problem and or the candidate a business problem and ask them to solve the business problem in front of them, and they will see how they think and see if that way of thinking matches the way a consultant thinks, and then they hire those people. But since the market is so competitive, people end up preparing and practicing a lot to learn that way of thinking beforehand so that they can make sure that they get the job. And so those are the people that come to us, especially those who really, really want that job.
Got it. Okay, cool. So that interview, where they're going through that case study, that is the case interview or the case study interview that we mentioned before.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You were teaching people that. You were working for somebody else doing that, or were you doing that for yourselves? Or like, how did that originally, when you started on it, how did that work?
So we got out of our jobs in consulting, and we decided that we wanted to start a business together. And, you know, we had all these ideas to start businesses, but as we were working through them and choosing one of them, people kept asking us for help in getting their jobs in consulting firms.
Like
and
friends.
So,
Because we were going to start a coffee business.
We're busy trying to start a business, guys.
We're
busy trying to start a business. Stop asking us for help with this problem.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's exactly what happened. And then we thought to ourselves, it wasn't as organic as it could be, because we thought to ourselves, like, we're going to need a bit of money before whatever business we do starts giving out money. And so we thought, let's just, you know, do some case interview coaching on Mondays, and that's going to pay our bills. And then we're going to, you know, create our business slowly.
Yeah, like, seems like a nice side job, you know?
Yeah. And then, but we did some sort of lead gen. Like we made an online test that people could take so we could get their leads, and started doing a bit of diagnostics calls, and it
like
filled
free sessions,
our entire schedule. Yeah.
Got it.
It filled our entire schedule. And then we were like, okay, so is this our business or is this not our business? What are we going to do? And then we decided to dive all in coaching.
Gotcha. How long did you do coaching for before you start making the courses?
Couple of years, right?
Yeah, 2.5 years, I'd say.
Yeah, and we focused, because like once we started, in like our second or third month, when we saw that there was a ton of demand and we didn't even have to like do normal traffic strategies, like a lot of word of mouth from clients and stuff, we kind of foresaw that if we want to scale this business, we want to do courses. I guess we could have gone the agency side at the time, but what we knew was courses. And so because of that, we started doing only long-term coaching, because the regular thing in our market is to do like one session, like a mock interview, right? Mm-hmm. And we structured it a little bit differently. We did like minimum 10 sessions because we wanted to work long-term with clients, because we wanted to develop methodology. So it was kind of pre-planned like that. And we charged less on an hourly basis because of that. So it was kind of like, we'll do it like less for less money per hour, but then we'll have a method that we can develop a course on top of.
Yeah.
When you said we knew that we were going to scale this with courses, because courses is what we knew, how did you know courses already?
Pat Flynn.
Okay. So not that it wasn't that you'd been making courses in some other somebody else or anything. You'd been listening to Pat Flynn, and yeah, he's like, courses is the way, guys. And you're like, got it, yeah, courses. Yeah. All right,
and,
cool.
And that's back on 2015, so it was podcasts and
we'd been sold on the whole 4-hour work week and passive income dreams, and we knew that like we wouldn't want to do coaching forever.
Yeah.
But we knew that it was a path to develop an online course or an online business in general.
That makes total sense, yeah. I think it's really interesting, right? Because I mean, obviously people listening to this are mostly got a course business already, or a membership or something like that, right? But there are loads of people that we know who run agencies.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it kind of makes sense starting an agency, because you know how to do a thing and people ask you for help, and then you do the thing and you get money and you go, right, cool. Now I need to scale this. Let me hire more people, build more marketing systems, build a sales team, all of this. And the problem with that is it sucks. And right? And all of a sudden you've just built yourself a shitty job, right? And it doesn't have to, but a lot of the time it does. A lot of the time, that's like not a great business to scale. But a course business is brilliant. So I really like what you guys did here. You were like, okay, we're going to do consulting because that pays the bills and people want that, and it's allowing us to develop systems. But to scale it, we're going to go to courses. So that's okay. Were you always like, you know, it sounds really neat now, looking back. At the time, was it as clear cut as that? Or were you thinking, oh, or maybe we'll do it like this, or maybe we'll do it like that? Like, how sure were you?
I would say that we're very sure about the vision.
Okay.
The path was tricky.
Okay.
The path to developing the methodology, what we were actually going to use, and actually creating the videos and creating the courses, that was super tricky. Like, over those 2.5 years, we started off doing 5 days a week of coaching. Mm-hmm. And we reduced that to 4, so we mm-hmm. could do 1 day of creating methodology and recording videos. And then we reduced that to 3, and then 2, and then 1. And we still weren't moving forward too fast in creating what would be our business.
Mm-hmm. And
that only worked when we did 2 things. First, we created a bootcamp where we took in a lot of people and we went through the entire methodology with them. So that made us do the
structuring, you know, of the method.
The method work. And then we also cut off coaching entirely, so we sort of burned the bridges, and now we had to do this because there was no money coming in at all. But the path was very rocky. I think the vision was super clear from the start.
Nice. So if I understand right, the thing that helped you to make the methodologies was when you went from doing one-to-one to doing group, because you kind of had to. Was that right? Is that what you're saying?
I think it's both, right, Julio?
Yeah.
Like, Because like I always have people asking me like, oh, how do I do an online course? Because like friends want to do it because it's a nice business. And I always tell them, okay, are you willing to do one-on-one teaching first? Because if you're not, like, I don't think you should.
Yeah.
And people are always kind of like disappointed when I say that, but I absolutely think they should. Because first, like, if you don't want to do one-on-one teaching before you do a course, like, you maybe you shouldn't be a teacher, right? Because having a course is essentially teaching at scale, right? So in our case, I think when we started doing one-on-one work, and the reason why we did like 2 years of it before moving into a scalable course is when we learned like all the problems of our audience, like the specific problems, right? How they feel, like it really helps with marketing, even today. The techniques that we developed a lot of techniques, and also some sort of sequencing, right? So what should we teach first? What should we teach later? What's best for last? But then doing group coaching helped us solidify that. So, okay, we have all the techniques. We have all the pain points. We know how they feel. We kind of know the sequencing. But when you're doing one-on-one, you don't force yourself to have a really systematic method because you can always adapt, right? You're working one-on-one. Yeah. It doesn't make sense to make the method more rigid or more like that much more structured. But then when you work with a group, you need more planning. And I think that's made everything that we learned by doing one-on-one fit in into something that you can record and sell. And of course, we could have recorded first, but then we'd probably have to do a lot of rework, right?
Yeah. And it's the same for us, right? So we started off with agency, then we did one-on-one coaching for people. And then I did group coaching, but with small groups. And then we made the course.
Yeah.
And then we did group coaching with the course. So it's like people would come on, you know, could come on to a call but once or twice a week. And then we've got to the point now where we're like, okay, we need to redo the whole thing to make it even better.
Yeah.
So we've paused it. So we're like, okay, right now. It's like, oh my God, to make a really good course is not a small amount of work. The thing is, sometimes it looks like it's 3 months work or something like that, because you've done the previous 3 years of learning how to get really good at teaching something. And then you're like, okay. And then it's still a lot of work. 3 months is still a lot, but it's a lot less than the 2 or 3 years of getting really good at something first.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So talk to us about your traffic. How have you built up this organic audience that you've got? Where is it? What channels are you driving traffic through?
I think that this is one of the most interesting parts about our business. We, today, are, I'd say maybe 50, 60% of our traffic comes from word of mouth.
Okay.
And so we...
And that's from a survey, so kind of...
Yeah.
Trustworthy.
It's self-reported. And the way that happens is we sort of created a flywheel in the beginning of our business journey. So we created, with all the knowledge that we had in the beginning, we created a free course that's 15 hours long. It would take people like 30 hours to go through the course. But the thing is, it was better than all of the paid content out there.
Okay.
That everyone had access to.
So 15-hour course for free.
Yeah.
Man, that's intense. Okay.
That's definitely the most debatable decision that we made.
I still don't know if it was a good decision.
Yeah.
Because like really people tell us, oh, I'd buy your course, but I got all I needed from the free one.
Yeah.
So, but some people still buy, of course, but
yeah. But in the end, that created a really strong flywheel, because people will join our free course because, well, it's free and it's clearly good, and then they'll get offers or not.
Yeah.
You know, just 1% of the people who try get offers, and there's nothing we can do to change that.
From the consulting firms, not like offers to buy our courses. Yeah.
And we can't...
I was thinking, yeah, you should probably offer everybody to buy your course. Like, I know what to do, guys. I know what you need to do.
sorry for the lingo. We can change that. Like, some people are going to get offers, but there's only so many spots for consulting jobs. But then...
Are you helping people to get offers as well? No. This is for when you say get offers, do you mean to get an interview?
Get the job.
Do you mean to just get the job?
Get the job. Yeah. Yeah.
The interview is the last step of the process before getting the job.
Mm-hmm.
And so those people go into consulting. And then when people ask the current consultants, how did you prepare? What should I do to get my job in McKinsey, Bain, BCG? They will say, just use Crafting Cases free course. Mm-hmm. Even if they use the paid ones, they're going to recommend the free course because, you know, they're not going to recommend someone to buy something. Or sometimes they will, but it's just easier to recommend. And then more people use the free course. More of the current consultants have used their free course. And so as this flywheel goes round, we end up with a lot of the current early consultants being our former students.
Mm.
And the first thing that people do when they, you know that they want to prep for consulting is ask what they should do to current consultants, because they'll go to their universities, they'll do, you know, presentations and career fairs, and consultants will recommend our courses to people who are not even looking for the jobs yet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or even if they ask their friends, which often happens, their friends will say, oh, I spoke to this McKinsey consultant and he told me to use this free course and it's really good, I've been using it. So it's an easy way to get not only leads, but also the most interested leads, because like there's people who prepare for 6 months, there's people who prepare for like 2 days or so, or who don't even prepare. And of course, since we're selling courses, we need the people who do prepare, right?
Yeah.
So they're high quality leads also.
And then we ignited this flywheel with a lot of Google SEO work. Google did some Quora posts that were strong in the beginning.
Yeah, that's YouTube, our first channel, Quora Answers.
And YouTube really took us off. And then the flywheel sort of ran itself. And now word of mouth just took over.
Got it. And how much is your course? What do you just got one, right? One paid course, or have you got multiple different things?
Okay, we got a few. So basically the free course breaks down the skill of solving case interviews into 6 core skills, which are also the 6 types of questions the interviewer may ask of you. So do this quantitative analysis or do this estimation. You might have heard, like, what's the market for bottled water in Germany or something like that. Those types of interview questions, they're estimation questions. And there's 6 types of them. So estimations, analysis, structuring. And what the free course gives you is a 3-step, 4-step, 5-step approach to solve each type of question with examples and practice drills. But then at the end of this free course, you kind of know what you're good at and what you're not that good at in these skills.
Okay.
And then we sell courses that go deeper into each skill.
Got it. So you got 6 different courses?
So like... analysis and chart interpretation are in the same course, for example.
Got it.
They're sort of bundled, so they're 3.
Yeah, there's 3 main courses, and then one that's cheaper that's just doing mental math really quickly. Yeah.
And they're between $200 and $300.
Yeah. Each course is about that kind of price. Got it.
And
cool.
That's another thing that we did differently that sort of set us off and, you know, put us in a different decision category for customers, I guess. So everyone who sold anything to help people get jobs in consulting firms, they would sell the whole package.
Yeah.
And we made the free course in a way that broke down the skills so that we could sell only a specific skill. And what this would do is, if you know you have a problem in that skill, then you know that a general course is not going to help you. So you need an in-depth course, and we're the only ones doing that.
Got it. Okay.
And you get feedback from your interviewer, right? They tell you like, oh, you didn't do the estimation right. And then next day they're looking for estimation resources.
Got it. Okay. And talk to me about the funnel side of things. Like, what's your process for promoting the courses? So people go through the free course, then what?
So we're all via email selling. We have people join the free course, they get into our email list, and then we have like an entirely evergreen, very long email sequence. So they'll get like 5 introduction emails in a welcome sequence. Then they'll get a sales sequence for one of our courses. And then
the bestseller, yeah.
Yeah, the bestseller. And then some engagement emails where we'll teach them some more things. And then another evergreen sales sequence. And then it sort of stops. And we have weekly or bi-weekly engagement emails for a few months.
Yeah. And they also can see the paid courses on the platform. So they're using the free course. They see like the courses button. And some people find their courses that way.
And then do you do like email promotions to the whole list once someone's finished with the evergreen ones?
Sometimes,
yeah.
Black Friday, yeah.
And when you do it, do you make more money?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Why don't you do it more often?
Honestly, like, we're a little scared of people expecting the discounts, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, maybe we should be doing it more often.
All right.
I don't know.
So, do you mind if I talk you through
something on this?
Please do. So in-course businesses, and I've seen a lot, right? Which is the only thing that we do is work on funnels for course businesses. Most people don't want to seem salesy and spammy, and they don't want people to get used to the discounts. And they think, right, if I do a regular promotion with a discount, then people are just going to wait until there's the next discount, and then I just won't make any more money. I'll just have the same number of sales for less money because people are buying when there's a discount. And it's not true. It's not the way it works. Revenue goes up when you do email promotions considerably, like a lot. In course businesses, 80% of the revenue in the business is in the email list.
Yeah.
And I've seen this consistently, right? Like, but if you just take drive-by sales, obviously you've got some email marketing, right? You're doing Black Friday. You've got your initial email sequences when somebody signs up to the initial free course. So you've got stuff in place. That email list is about 80% of the revenue of the business, generally. That's like on average. So I had a friend who I saw every year at a conference. And every time that I saw her, she ran a course business. And every time I saw her, I was like, oh, you started doing an email promotion yet? And she's like, no, I don't want to do it because I don't want people to get used to discounts. And I don't want to be, you know, too salesy by doing regular email promotions. And I didn't see her for a few years. And then I messaged her and I was just checking in how she's doing. And she told me she doubled the sales. And I was like, that's brilliant. That's fantastic. What did you do? She's like, I started doing regular email promotions with discounts. And I was like, good. exactly what you should be doing.
How regular would you do it? I mean, it depends on the business,
right?
Once a month. Okay.
So if a client has got 3 or more courses, we will do 1 promotion a month, and then we'll just cycle through every 3, 4, 5, how many courses they've got. We'll cycle through that number of months. And there's a couple of ways that you can do it. The simplest thing is to have the discount in there. But the thing is, the discount isn't the real thing. You're not just promoting, we've got a discount, we've got a discount, we've got a discount. What you're doing is you're giving an excuse to really focus on, let's talk about this course.
Yeah.
What was one of the ones you said about just the
There's the
analysis?
Structuring course, which is the main one.
Yeah, okay. So, and then, so let's say we're talking about the structure. So let's really talk about structuring. Why is that important? So you'd send out a week's worth of valuable, useful emails and YouTube videos and whatever about structuring. And I really get people thinking about the topic of structuring. And then you move into, right, this... And you'd say to people, right, this is going to be something, we're going to have a discount for a week on this. And we're going to talk about this all week. And you would talk about, why do you need this? What's the importance of the topic? Why should people be Why should people be thinking about getting better at this thing? Why does it matter? How's it going to help them in their interview? Why does it help them when they're actually working in the job? All of the things that they care about, you talk about it in different ways. You talk about what's the benefits of it. You talk about what's the problems if they don't do it. You talk about the logic and the facts and the data that show people who are better at this have a 67% higher chance of getting the job that they're after. All of that isn't about your course. That's about solving this problem. And yeah. Then you mention, of course, don't forget, for this week, you can get the course. The point of the discount is to give urgency so that people make a decision now. It's a little bit so that somebody saves, you know, they're like, oh, I'll buy it this week or the next week because of the money. But it's like, it's more an excuse to really be talking about, you need to be taking action on this week, and you've got a countdown time when you're making people think I should do it now. And then you can have your case studies and your testimonials about that particular course. Like, here's people who went through it before and how they thought it was brilliant. Here's all the questions that everybody asks about this topic and answers to all of them. All of that stuff. And you do that for a week, concentrated, and then you stop. And at the end of that week, especially on that last day, you get a ton of sales. And you make way more sales than if you don't do that.
Yeah.
You
know?
And then you can just leave that for a month and you do it again with another topic the next time.
That's a great point. But let me ask you how you adapt this to the nuance of our market.
Sure.
That's what I'm really curious about. So what happens in our market is some people, not many, but some people will have interviews in random times of the year. And they know beforehand that they have to prepare, so they have a long life in our email list. And for those people, I can see that making sense just the way you said it.
Mm-hmm.
But for most people, they have a set timeline, a very set timeline. So they join their MBAs in August, September, and they know they want to prepare for consulting. So they start, but they have their tests and stuff. So they start November, December, and they'll have their interviews on March, or...
I think it's January, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe January, but the point being, people will join at a set time in the year, and they'll have their interviews at a set time in the year. It varies depending on where in the world they are, but their timeline is very specific. So if someone's been on my email list for 8-12 months, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It hardly ever makes sense for them to buy.
Interesting. And if
they are just got in the email list, then that's when they're most likely to have their interviews coming up, and they have their own urgency and convergency coming up. How do you think about this?
Basically, like, our leads have a short span of time that they're worth something to us in terms of money, right? In terms of willingness to buy, because they have their interviews and then after that they don't. And for some people it's 1 month, for some people it's 6 months, for most people it isn't more than that. Yeah.
Here's something really interesting that I would want to play with if I was you guys, is after someone signs up initially for your, what happens on the confirmation page after somebody signs up for your free course? What's on that page?
There's an email that says how valuable it is, that you should treat it as a paid course, and basically explains like what kind of value they're going to get.
Okay. Yeah. There's nothing. All it says is done. Now check your email to find the link to join our free 7-day course. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, that page at the moment is just a little message that pops up, but that page that you could set up, it like redirects to another page, right? Is one of the most valuable pages you have in your entire business. And at the moment, it doesn't even exist. So this is great news, because what this means is you can make a bunch more money, and I can tell you exactly how to do it. So there's two things that you could do with that page. One, you could just offer them the chance to buy the paid course straight away.
Okay.
And you could have a special offer. If you buy right now, here's a special offer. And you have the whole sales page and a discount. What we normally do on that page is we have something called a tripwire. So we've got like a cheap offer, something that you might sell for like $27, what have you. I don't know if you have anything that kind of fits at that price point.
Yeah, there's the mental math course. It's $70.
Okay. So that's a possibility, is you could put that mental math course on that page and then have a discount and say, right, well, that's going to be like, you know, special offer if you get it right now for $50 or $49 or, you know, $39, whatever. And then you give it like a 30-minute timer and you get people. And a bunch of people would buy straight away. between 3 and 10% if you do a really good job on that page.
Yeah.
Second thing, though, that I think could be really interesting based on what you've said in terms of people's timings is you could put a survey on that next page and you could ask people, what is the date or when is your interview going to be? Or when, you know, what's a likely date? How long off is that? 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, what have you? Or I don't know how accurately people are going to know that kind of thing, but like start to put, find some way of finding that information. Because then you could include that in your email marketing. You could include that as like, if it's in 1 month, then send this campaign, talk about, because your interviews are going to be in a month, you need to be preparing, this is what you've got to be doing. And I would suspect that would increase your conversion rate within that. You're saying you've got like a short time period, you know, like 6 months, 8 months, whatever, that's like the most valuable period, 1 month, whatever it was going to be, right, for that person.
Yeah.
So then it allows you to really tailor your marketing at that period. What that would be, why that might be particularly interesting is because about 70% of people will fill out a survey on a confirmation page. Give or take, it's normally about 70%. So then what you could have is after someone's filled it in, then you could have still another offer on the confirmation page after that. So
after
you
the
still
survey.
Could get, after the survey, yeah. Say, thanks so much for filling that in, and you could make that offer targeted based on what they put in the survey, or you could just say, here's the mental math model, go buy, you know, this, what have you.
And
both of those would be like, you'd have to kind of play with it because you'd need to look at your audience and see like what percentage is which offer going to make sense for, what conversion rates do we think they're going to be, and then you make your best estimate on that, and then that's what offer you're going to put on the confirmation page, and then you can do an A/B test later on in it. But like that would give you a starting point. So it gives you some sales straight away, and it would give you more information to target your emails with people more accurately.
I'm taking notes.
Yeah. Okay. I like this. I feel like I would like to create some offers for that rather than use our current ones.
That's always tempting, right? So here's why. So that's a good idea, but it's not a good idea to do straight away. And here's why. I'm looking at this from a making money point of view rather than from a delivering perfect experience point of view, right? If you go, right, we're going to make the perfect offer for that page, two things. One, you don't know when you put that perfect offer that you create that takes you 2 months to make it or whatever, right? When you put that in place, you don't know if that was any better than what you could have had straight away because you didn't have anything to compare it to.
Right.
Secondly, you've lost 2 months of making any money on that particular part of your funnel that you haven't got anything. So what I recommend to everybody for that is make a list of all of the things, all of the products that you've got. So your three main, you know, main course and then the other three courses and then the mental math model and anything else that you can think of and go, what do we think would make sense here? And then put something up for that. Ideally, it's one where you've already got a sales page. Because that then where you just copy that existing sales page and you tweak it. So you say, most of the page is exactly the same, but you say, here's a special offer, you choose your discount. And then you put a countdown timer, deadline, funnel, or whatever else you might use to put a countdown timer. And you put something at the top that says, the free course is on its way, it'll be with you in like 10 minutes in your email inbox. In the meantime, check out this offer, this is the first thing to do. And apart from that, the sales page is exactly the same. So it's not a massive amount of work to put this whole thing in place. And then you're getting some money coming in and you've got a baseline. And then you can go, right, actually, that's not performing that great. We're going to make this better offer or we'll just leave it running. Now, the real reason that really matters is because you've got dozens of things in your business that you can be doing, right? So what's quite easy to happen is go, well, that's a clever idea, John. I like that. I'll come back to that after I've done X, Y, and Z. And then it's a year later and you've never put anything in place. And then you've not been, you know, it's just like, that's super easy to happen, right? Super easy.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just put something up, then you're like, cool, I'm making money from this in the meantime while everything else is happening.
Yeah, I think we do a decent job in trust building, like those more human elements of conversion, but not a good enough job in putting the right offer at the right time in front of the right person, you know? So I really like this because it can even help people earlier, right? Like the way it's currently set up, like sometimes the person just sees the offer 15 days later and it may be too late, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If someone says, right, in that survey, here's a way you could do the logic, right? So you do the survey in Typeform or something that's got logic built in. And someone says, my interview is in like a month. Don't bother giving them lots of trust building and everything. It's like, you need to crack on. You need the you need the good stuff right now, dude. So you show them an offer of like, okay, this is what you need right now. And you've got to make sure, obviously, all of this is in service of the customer, right? You can't show them offers that only serve you and actually it's not going to be helpful to them. But you know after the survey which thing is going to be the most useful for them straight away. And it's your... So if someone's learning, I don't know, to play the guitar, right?
Yeah.
There isn't a deadline on learning to play the guitar, but you guys, these your audience has got this really specific deadlines that they have to hit, and you know how long it takes for them to study and prepare for each of these things, so you can serve them by making the right offer at the right time.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
It makes sense. I also feel tempted to put in, rather than, you know, a small, a low-value offer that serves some people, not necessarily everyone, and is not necessarily the most important skill that will be momentum at. I sort of feel tempted to put in the course bundle or maybe the all-in pass or something like that.
Yeah.
Would that be too expensive?
If you think
for
that's
that page?
What would serve your audience best, then that could totally make sense. What's your thinking with that? Why is it because that's the bigger thing that actually that's what everybody should be getting? Is it because it's higher priced and more money? What's your thinking? Why do you reckon that's the right course?
I guess it's the thing that actually aims at solving their problem.
Yeah.
Like if I put in a small, like the mental math course. Mental math is something that people always feel like they could be better at, but it's for many people, it's not going to be their problem. It's not going to be the one thing that they should be doing. And so while it serves us and while it would be good for some people, it's not necessarily the best thing to put in there for the students, I think. But if we put in the all in the like the complete pass, if they're short in time especially, they can go in depth right away in whatever they need. So you have a month, you don't spend a week thinking whether you should join this or that course. You just know, oh, I have this problem within estimations. Actually, it's the structuring in estimations. Actually, it's structuring in unit of supply estimation. So they go right to that video and they got that problem solved right away because they've got the all-in pass.
Yeah, basically like every day they practice, they find out something that they didn't know how to do and that they should improve on. And then if they have access to everything, they can solve things like in real time, you know, like.
Yeah.
They don't spend a week solving some issue. They spend like 30 minutes.
Nice. Great. This is exciting.
Yeah, it is.
You guys are going to make a bunch more money. I like it.
Yeah, I love this. It sort of puts our whole roadmap of projects in perspective. Joe, let me take this moment to ask you a question in terms of tools. What would we need to in terms of tools to add these surveys in there and then and add in the Tripwire? Because all we use is Thinkific, and it doesn't feel like they would have the right tool for that.
Oh, it has. I think it has upsells.
Yeah, this isn't upsells. This is like having a limited time offer.
That's true.
Okay, here's what you need, right? So you can do it in Thinkific.
Is it?
You make a different version of the same of the sales page, right? With your bundle that's specifically for people who either have gone through this and it says that their interview's in a month or for everybody, depending on what you decide as the offers to be for each person. And you get Deadline Funnel and you embed the timer from Deadline Funnel into the sales page and into any follow-up emails that you have. And then what Deadline Funnel will do is it will, you choose a redirect. So let's say you choose the amount of time to be 30 minutes. Like that's what we normally do and it's a cheap priced offer. We have a 30-minute countdown timer and then we have a slightly different offer. So if someone doesn't buy in the 30 minutes, then we follow up with a slightly different offer that lasts 2 days. And so that's the way we'll often do it. But let's say we just for sake of argument, just 30 minutes, right? And Deadline Funnel will redirect that person after 30 minutes so they can't get to that offer anymore.
Yeah.
and it takes that away. And what's beautiful with Deadline Funnel is it makes it so that for otherwise what they might do is go, oh, I'll just go back to the same page. I'll just sign up for the lead magnet again. That won't work because it figures out that it's them. It's very clever. I don't know. It's not just through cookies. I don't know what they're doing exactly, what magic they've got, but they know it's you. They know who you are, right? You can't just go, oh, I'm just going to go incognito with you. No, that won't work either. So it really makes it so after 30 minutes, that offer goes away. And that's important so that people know, oh, this urgency is genuine. If they give me another offer, I need to take it in time. You know?
Yeah. Got it. John, can I take a minute of your time and ask you about installments? What do you see in terms of installments? Whether we should be doing them? Because we're always discussing whether we should be doing installments or not. Maybe our courses are too cheap for that. Maybe not.
Yeah, we don't
specifically
tend to do
on the bundles with like.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. How much do you charge for the bundle?
500, 600, depends on the time of the year.
Okay. Yeah, you could do installments on it. Like the benefit to that is obviously that you've got some people who can't afford or aren't going to pay for the full thing.
Yeah.
But you do lose some of those people. Like not all the payments go through in the end. And obviously with those ones, you can stop them getting access anymore. Like, oh, you didn't finish your payments. You can't get access to this anymore. You can set up follow-up emails, that kind of thing. But about 80% of the money you'll get, something like that, of whatever whatever you charge, you'll probably get about 80% of it. So therefore, you have to charge enough extra for the installments.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know? Like most people charge 20% extra. That's probably where it comes from, right?
Yeah. So I'd say probably at 600, yeah, it's probably worth doing. I do like three installments of. What's it? If it's 500, yeah, 200, 190. What'd that give you? Like 600. So if you're sometimes charging 600, then you'd want to be charging 250. No, a little bit less than that.
Maybe 5 of 150.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering about like 5 of 150 seems like it's lasting a little too long.
Yeah.
On that number. I think 3 pay. I think 3 payments is probably about right for that kind of size.
So you'd say that 5 is too long?
Well, if it's done over 5 months.
Yeah, because I what I had in my mind was even going up to, that's what we always talk about, maybe even 60, 12 of 60.
Mm-hmm. Tell me this, though. How long, because you're telling me there's like a real time limit to somebody getting access, getting use from your course. Yeah. If someone's already got the job, I don't know. And they're not using the course anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you might have a higher drop-off in terms of payments going through. If someone's like, well, I don't even need this thing anymore. Why am I still paying for it? You know, even though maybe it was your course that got them the job that pays them lots of money. Yeah. That was just my thinking about, like, that seems like it's, if it's past the point of them already having got it, you know.
It's pretty testable though, right?
Yeah, totally. Like, it would take a year to test it. But
I mean, like we can do it for a month and then see what's the drop.
You also could see what's the uplift, like you actually get more people buying.
Yeah,
because even though you'd have a bunch of people who don't make all the payments, you wouldn't have got any payments from some of those people.
True.
One of the things that we do, and actually this might be a better way of doing it, is you have the upfront course, pay for it all at once, right? Then you have a downsell. So a downsell is all of the people who didn't buy the original offer, then you offer them the payment plan. Mm-hmm. And you do that via 3 emails over the course of 3 days after starting the day after or 2 days later after they didn't buy, you know, after the original deadline of buying the bundle at a certain price. Mm-hmm. And we've done that a lot of times and it always works. And it's how much it's worthwhile depends on how many people you've got going through that process and how long it's going to take you to kind of set this up and whether you can reuse those emails. Because writing emails takes a certain amount of time and that's time you're not doing something else, right?
Yeah.
And also, of course, if you make too many offers to your audience, at some point they start to be less engaged. Now, but the thing is for you guys, you need to be making offers until they reach that point of the interview, right? You need to be on it. And it's, I don't know like how many you've got in there, because you've got the free course and then you've got the follow-up offers after that. But I it sounds like, this is just based on some of the stuff you've said so far, that probably needs to be increased.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be figuring out every angle that you can get to see, right, come on, guys, you need this. Because they do, right? They need your damn course.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're less likely to get the job, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're even starting Instagram to be able to have more frequent offers, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Talk to me about that. What do you mean? How is Instagram going to help you have more frequent offers?
Basically, like, we don't do any social media nowadays, so our only touch of contact with our audience is through email, which is kind of like one-to-one, right, when they answer. And we thought as Instagram as a way to do one-to-many, right? So a lot of our customers are on Instagram. And the thought is, if we put good content there every day, then we can use the stories to raise awareness about specific problems in the interview and then also offer the courses. And then maybe ads. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, so Instagram's good for building the audience, but what you want from there for making sales is to get them then onto the email list. Making offers through social directly, it's okay.
Oh, no, the idea is to send people from the email list to IG so they can have interactions with us, right?
Okay.
So kind of using more as not as a top of funnel, but more as a middle to bottom, like more middle funnel.
So what's the benefit of it? You're trying to make the offer on IG, or you're trying to warm them up, or
we can make offers more often, you know? Because like via email, like we have 5 courses. So via email, like let's say we have a 5-day sequence for a course. If you multiply that by 5 offers, you have 25 emails, which is like a month of selling. So you probably want to spread that out over 2 or 3 months, so it's not like sell, sell, sell. And a lot of our leads don't have 3 months, right? And the thought, which I don't know, we got a test, but the thought is with IG, we can do like whole day of stories talking about structuring. And then we tell them, hey, we have a course here in case you want it. Or do hard sales or discounts or whatever we got to figure out. But the idea is like, what's a 5-day email sequence could be 1 day of stories or something like that.
I would think with the kind of thing you're talking about there, you'd probably be better off with webinars.
Okay.
Than IG. Because so webinars are great for sales, and they're also great for building a lot of trust really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Because you can do an hour's worth of giving away free content. Now, you've already got 15 hours of free content in your course. So it's like, but you could have like, I don't know, find a different angle or something like that. And then about a specific topic, and then you point people from email to the webinar, and then the webinar goes into sales. Because IG just doesn't work as well for direct sales. It works way better for audience building. If you're going from email to IG, it's the wrong way around. It should be Instagram to email,
and then email to... It's not the usual,
Like, I mean, who knows, right? There could be something new that I haven't figured out that you try it, and you're like, oh my God, this is brilliant. But if like it's a tried and tested way, I wouldn't do it that way around. I would think that's probably not going to be the way that's going to drive a lot more sales for you.
Got it. Yeah, I'm kind of biased against webinars because I never go to them. So,
but that's the problem with marketers, right? Is like marketers don't do it. They don't do any of the things that marketers want you to do because they know, like, I know you're, you know. But they work. They do work well. Like, you'd need to look at what your registration rate and whatever is. But what you typically get, a relatively low percentage of people will go and actually register for the webinar from your email list, 3%, 5%, something in that kind of ballpark. But all the steps after that tend to be pretty good, and it's worth doing when you've got a more expensive course. Like, it's definitely worth it for the bundle because you do get drop-off at each stage, right? So let's say if you do a live webinar, you'll tend to get about 35% of people attending. And out of 35% of people who attend, you'll tend to get like 70 or 80% of them will finish and actually get through to the bit where they see the pitch. So you've got drop-off each of those steps.
Yeah.
But the people who get to the end and watch the pitch, if you do a good presentation and a good pitch, then you'll tend to get a high percentage of people who buy compared to people who go to a sales page. People who go to a sales page, you're probably looking at like 20 to 25% will get to the checkout page. From the checkout page, you're looking at 20 to 25% of people will buy. So total, you're looking at like 4, maybe 5% kind of thing.
Yeah.
But with a webinar, you can have as high as 10% of people who actually see the pitch who then go buy. And it tends to work with higher priced offers as well. So that can be really nice in terms of conversion. But yeah, they do work still, even if you don't like them.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know it's a bias. Yeah, it's a personal bias.
Because I don't either. I never go to webinars either. Yeah. So tell us, guys, what's your goals? What's your vision? Where do you want to be with the course business in like a year or 3 years? Like, where are you trying to get to?
Julia,
so we sort of see our course business like a portfolio that we're building. We have the lead gen part that's mostly built out, and then we have a conversions part that we can still work on. We have a portfolio of courses that we can still work on, and we have a sort of a roadmap to complete, and that maybe we can double this business. But the way we see it, it's more something that's going to be a great business out there that's going to help out everyone, but can also allow us to go do other, take on other challenges. Do different
Have you got other challenges in mind? How do you mean?
It's just run different businesses. So yeah? I would love to have either DTC brands or maybe even software businesses. Bruno's got some great ideas on teaching people entrepreneurship here in Brazil. So we've got some dreams that we sort of want to pursue, and I feel like Crafting Cases is currently the platform that's going to let us do that.
Nice.
You agree, Bruno?
Yeah, I agree. Like, we have some stuff coming up. Like, we're doing a course for beginners because we only offer the free course for beginners, which is kind of a mistake because most people are beginners. We're redoing our bestseller course because it was done like five years ago. But yeah. The way I see our business, because it's a very evergreen business, right? Like 4-hour work week style. So the way I see it is kind of like when an author writes a book, like he can keep working on the book and launch like V2, V3, V10, or they can just move on to another thing. Maybe it's related, maybe it's not. So the way I see it, it's kind of like that. Like, we published stuff online and then as a free course and then the paid courses, and that kind of all works as a book. So it's still going to have value probably 10 years from now because the topic is basically like how to solve business problems. Like, you don't need like new stuff, like in terms of new trends or things like that. Which is very different from your thing, I think, John, because like you always have to be on top of the new marketing thing, like even if to say it doesn't work, right? Like that's what's on people's minds, right? In our case, it's an evergreen topic, so we can use the platform to do other things. Like Julio is learning to program right now. Maybe we'll build SaaS apps. I don't know.
Maybe.
Not committing to this.
I wouldn't do
it's
that.
It's hard.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Yeah, SaaS apps, SaaS businesses is an interesting one because they're very different to like, there's pros and cons to different types of business, right?
Of course.
Agencies or consulting, you make money straight away.
Yeah.
And they're actually quite easy to get some work in through your network and what have you. SaaS businesses are like the whole other end. You have to build out for like a year or two or whatever before you're making any, like the MRR, before you make any money. Sorry, I didn't finish my sentence there. And then the monthly recurring revenue is great, but it takes so long to build up to a level that's actually meaningful.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I've got a friend who she's been working on she had one SaaS business, sold that for a lot, and then has been working on another one. And her husband's a programmer, so he does the programming, she does the marketing, they work together on it. And like, I don't know, a year or something in, they were like on less than $10,000 a month in revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's badass. Like, she knows what she's doing, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's just, that's how it's just, but it just takes a long time. You know, they had to keep building more features, they had to keep building up their SEO traffic, all of that kind of stuff to kind of get out to a certain level. So,
yeah.
If you do take that on, I'm be interested to hear how it goes.
Yeah. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Wicked. Guys, this has been absolutely brilliant. I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your whole story and what's been working for you. If people want to go check you out, where should they, I mean, should they go check out Crafting Cases? Should they look at your Entrepreneurship for Beginners stuff? Like, where would you want to point people to?
I don't have an Entrepreneurship for Beginners stuff yet, but but I don't have anywhere to point to. But it's going to be in Portuguese anyway, so.
Okay. Forget that then. Okay, it doesn't exist and it'll be in a different language. Okay,
I guess they can check out Crafting Cases, our YouTube channel, or if they're applying to consulting, our free course maybe. But we don't have a... Do you have anywhere to point them to, Julio?
No, not really. But if they want to reach out and say hello, they can always email us.
Yeah? Cool. What's your emails then?
Julio and Bruno at craftingcases.com.
Yeah, Julio, it's two emails. Yeah. Julio at craftingcases.
Yeah.
Bruno at
craftingcases. We're just like one person. Julio and Bruno. These guys are on two separate cameras, but really, they're just standing.
No, really not. It's so funny, man, because like our students, they mistake one for another all the time. Like, they're like, oh, Julio said in this video, like, that's me.
Yeah, they don't know who is who, and they don't care.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think they care, honestly.
Nice.
All right, John, thank you for inviting us. This was
great. Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate your time today, and we'll talk soon.
All right.
Yeah. Sure.